Well, the Minister for Home Affairs, Tony Burke, has confirmed that he met with Nauru's President, David Adiang, in Canberra yesterday after the Pacific Island Nations leader made an unannounced visit to Parliament House. The visit came after reporting by Nine newspapers that criminal bikie gangs were awarded a lucrative contract to provide security for former immigration detainees transferred to Nauru as part of the NZYQ cohort. Joining me now is the Green spokesperson for Home Affairs, Immigration, Citizenship and Multicultural Affairs and Foreign Affairs, Peace and Nuclear Disarmament, David Shoebridge. You've got plenty of shadow portfolios there, David Shoebridge. Good morning and welcome.
Yeah, good. That's a list. But in this case, Home Affairs.
What's your response to the Nauruan president's visit to Parliament in Canberra yesterday?
Well, I mean, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary that the Labor government, having just cut a $2.5 billion deal with one of our nearest neighbours, then sneaks the president in the back door, fails to show up for any questioning. Is shielding the Nauruan president from any questioning from Australian media. I mean, only a government that is embarrassed by the deal that they've cut and potentially embarrassed by questions that will be put to the Nauruan president would do that. There are a bunch of questions that I think the Australian public deserve some answers from. We're not getting them from Tony Burke, and we might have got them from the Nauruan president in a press conference, but instead they literally snuck him in the back door. Told
it was
nobody.
The Senate entrance.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been in the Senate entrance. I can tell you it's not the public entrance. There's no media at the Senate entrance. It's designed to shield a pretty cruel deal, in fact, an extraordinary cruel deal from scrutiny. Secretly deporting people to Nauru, a secret MOU with Nauru, secret payments to Nauru, and now a secret meeting from the president of Nauru. This is one of the least transparent governments we've ever had. And on this case, this is about a deal which pretty much every human rights advocate and organisation says is a gross abuse of people's human rights, deporting them to a third country they have no connection with.
We'll look at that in a moment. But just secondly on this visit, is it right to call it a secretive meeting? The president was already here for a Pacific Security College leadership program. Is it unusual to have informal or unannounced meetings?
This is a head of state of one of our closest neighbours that the government has just cut a $2.5 billion deal with, and the Minister for Home Affairs, and as I understand it as well, from a very small amount of information in the public domain, the Foreign Minister have just had a meeting with. Yes, if no one knows about a meeting, I think it is 100% fair to call it a secret meeting. And this is an important secret meeting with a country we've just signed a $2.5 billion deal laced with cruelty for.
What questions do you have about this meeting, given we've seen the first members of the NZYQ cohort being sent to Nauru last month?
Well, I think one of the first questions that we would have asked the Nauruan president is, does he stand by his comments where he said he wants to return the people who have been forcibly deported to Nauru, who are, we understand, will overwhelmingly have been found to be refugees? Does he stand by his commitment and his position that he wants to return them to the country that they came from, which is the country where they were found to face persecution, potential torture, and are found to be refugees
but
from?
That under the legal system here in Australia, they were it was ruled that this cohort had no legal right to be here in Australia. Does Australia really hold responsibility now they are in Nauru and are the responsibility of the Nauruan government?
Australia absolutely has responsibility. Once having found that people are refugees, Australia can't do chain refoulement. We can't send them to one country where they stand a risk of being deported back to the country that they flew, that they fled from. And we're talking countries like Iran, where we know that there is brutal regimes that absolutely torture, disappear, and execute political dissidents. So we have an absolute legal obligation under the Refugee Convention to ensure there isn't chain refoulement. And instead of instead of being prepared to answer those tough questions, Tony Burke, Penny Wong, the Labor government, have decided to shield the Nauruan president from those questions. But that wouldn't be the only questions. We'd also be asking questions about the very real allegations that money provided from Australia to Nauru in the past and currently has been diverted to bikie gangs, ask questions about very real allegations of serious corruption with the billions of dollars that have been provided from Australia to Nauru. These are questions absolutely in the public interest that I think pretty much all the Australian public deserves some answers to. And instead of presenting a press conference with Tony Burke and President Adiang, they sneak them in the back, don't tell anyone, and only put a tweet out when they're found out.
On a separate issue, the government has been accused by the Centre of Public Integrity of leaning into a culture of secrecy in its attempt to reform the freedom of information system. How do you see the wider approach to transparency by the government right now?
Well, I don't think they are separate issues. I mean, this what we've just been talking about with Nauru, secret MOUs, secret deportations, hiding a president of a near neighbour from scrutiny. I mean, that fits the pattern of secrecy. But they've also brought in, Labor's also brought in proposed reforms to the FOI Act that will make it even harder to get information from the government. It massively expand the cabinet exemption, so even less documents are produced, not allow documents to be produced if they're part of an ongoing process, which is often the key time you want documents in the public domain to try and ensure that processes don't go off rail. And not only that, the FOI reforms that they brought in are directly contrary to the recommendations of the Robodebt Royal Commission that said the reason that appalling project continued for so long and people's lives were lost is because it was shrouded in secrecy and FOI applications that had been filed were wrongly rejected. So, you know, how could a government that got elected on allegedly a transparency agenda after one of the least transparent governments we've had in the Morrison government now come in barely 3 years down the track and want to take FOI backwards? And it's not just FOI, it's answers to questions on notice, it's responses to parliamentary inquiries. You know, the CPI are rightly saying we have one of the least transparent governments on record. And, you know, the last 24 hours with Nauru have just confirmed that.
David Shoebridge, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Pleasure, Sally.